greet each of you in the name of the one that we've been singing about. The Lord that has come. I plan to take some thoughts about Christmas, a prelude to Christmas. I know Christmas is not yet. But as you go about your life, everybody is thinking about Christmas. And when I hear Brother Jason announce we have Christmas caroling tonight, and so you're all thinking about Christmas too. And I would like to preach this morning on the place of Christmas carols in our Christmas. That's not the title, but that's where I plan to go with this morning. I was thinking about as we plan to go out and we plan to sing, what is the point of it? Is it just an old empty tradition that we do? A Sunday before Christmas, a Sunday evening, whenever, we gather together and we go out and we sing Christmas songs. What's the point of it? For some introductory thoughts, turn with me to Zephaniah chapter 3. Some interesting verses here that I'd like to springboard out of. Zephaniah is an old book, Old Testament book. It's Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. Kind of gives you an idea where you're at. So if you start the Old Testament back up four books, you'll find Zephaniah. I'd like to read Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 14. It says, "Sing, O daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel, be glad and rejoice with all thine heart, O daughter of Jerusalem." And my title is that, "Sing, O daughter of Zion." Sing, shout, be glad, and rejoice. You get those four words of action there? Sing, shout, be glad, and rejoice. "Rejoice with all thy heart, O daughter of Jerusalem, for the Lord hath taken away the judgments. He hath cast out thine enemy, the king of Israel. Even the Lord is in the midst of thee. Thou shalt not see evil any more. In that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, Fear thou not, and to Zion let not thine hands be slack. The Lord thy God is in the midst of thee, is mighty. He will save, he will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. I will gather them that are sorrowful for the solemn assembly who are of thee, to whom the reproach of it was a burden. Behold, at that time I will undo all the affliction, all that afflict thee, and I will save her that halteth, and gathereth her that was driven out. And I will get them praise and fame in every land where they have been put to shame. At that time I will bring you again, even at the time that I gather you, for I will make you a name and a praise among all the people of the earth, when I turn back your captivity before your eyes, saith the Lord." This is an Old Testament account. Zephaniah was a judge, and he was judging Israel over the time when Israel would do good and then fall back, and do good and fall back. And we have the promises that of the Lord saying, "I want to come and I want to dwell with you." This prophet was dated here in my scripture about 630 B.C. before Christ. So 630 years before Christ came that these words were penned. "Sing, O daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel, be glad and rejoice with all thy heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord hath taken away thy judgments." And he was praising the Lord for what God has done. That's how I believe the prophet wrote it. But it also has another meaning. Of that there's the time coming when the Lord is going to come and dwell with mankind. There's a time coming when the Lord is going to dwell in your midst. And we know that the Lord has done that. The Lord came and dwelt among them. And it was something to sing about. And so I like how that says that. Sing, shout, and be glad and rejoice. Because the Lord has come and we have something to sing. And so it's a joy to celebrate Christmas. We should be joyful. I'd like to turn over to Isaiah. Just thinking about a prelude to Christmas and a prelude to when Jesus came to this earth. Isaiah 9 talks about the people that walked in darkness hath seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them the light hath shined. There was that great light that came into this world by Jesus coming. It goes on to say, "For unto us a child is born, Unto us his Son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Isaiah prophesied this 740 years before Christ came. And you had them long years of waiting. Brother Myron talked about that in devotions this morning, how they sang about that they don't have to wait anymore. But these prophets were looking forward to the time that Christ would come, and they waited, and they waited, and they waited. But the Lord child did come. And we can sing, we sing joy to the world, the Lord has come. We sing Silent Night. We sing, O come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Why do we sing Christmas carols? Do we just sing it because it fits for the season? We don't sing them any other time of the year. And so this morning, Brother Roscoe started to lead some Christmas songs. Brother Jaron's been leading some. We enjoy singing Christmas songs. Why do we sing it? Well, I believe as followers of Jesus Christ, we lift up our voices and we sing because there's a message in those songs. And that's what I want to look at this morning, the message of a song that goes forth as we sing. O holy night, O night divine, O little town of Bethlehem. Each one of them songs puts a little glimpse of what Jesus has done for us. O beautiful star of Bethlehem, shining afar through shadows dim, giving a light. And we had that verse in Isaiah that says there was a light, that great light that began to shine in this dark world. Light. And as followers of Jesus this morning, we have that light within us and we want to continue to let it shine. I'd just like to think just a little bit about what a light does for us. A light is something that we use all the time. Light dispels darkness. That's very obvious. But when it's dark, you can't do anything. I was struck with this thought here about several weeks ago. I helped my brother-in-law move, and they were all settled into their place. You know how when you move, you bring everything in, and you kind of arrange it for them. We flopped down on the couch, and we said, well, there you go. And about that time, the lights went out. The current went off. And we're sitting in a strange house, strange arrangement of furniture. Flashlights are all in boxes, and there we sit looking at each other, and we said, now what are we going to do? You can't do anything in the dark. And that was what these Old Testament saints, there was darkness, 700 years, 400 years of darkness, of silence. And they were wondering, where is this promised child? Where is this light? But when the Christ child came, there was a great light. Light brings hope. There's something about when you're facing an extreme dark situation, we say there's light at the end of the tunnel. You can face anything, they tell me, as long as you can see some light at the end of the tunnel. It brings hope. And when Christ child came, they had hope. They could begin to face life. This great light shineth. Light gives guidance. You ever try to drive a car with no lights on? It's kind of fun. But you're going to soon be off the road. You better have a full moon because you've got to have light. Light gives guidance. You have to be able to see. And when Christ came into this world, this time that we are fast approaching, what we call Christmas, it gives guidance to the world around us. And we have something to sing about. And so sing, O ye daughters of Zion. Sing, ye members at Calvary Mennonite Church. As you go forth and you go into Christmas carol and sing, be excited about it. Because you got something to sing about tonight. Sing and rejoice. So many times we sing out of duty. It's Christmas time, go Christmas caroling. Do you feel like it? Don't feel like it? It's cold, it's wet, stay home, all these excuses. But we sing because we want to tonight. And I want to impress upon that fact upon you, that we sing because you have a message in your heart. You are inspired. And so we sing enthusiastically. I enjoy watching people sing, and I'm sure you watch me sing. What makes a person enthusiastic about their singing? I brought me a little song buckle up here. I'm not going to sing you a song. But, you know, when you got your song here, we sang the Silver Star. That was what you led, right, Roscoe? Just happened to open it up to that song. And so we're singing on the brow of night, and I'm, oh yeah, there's a spider on the wall. Wonder who cleaned it. Oh, where are we out here on the brow of night? There shines a silver star. Very enthusiastic. Or are we singing, looking at the audience? Or are we singing along and our noses in the book? There's nothing that kills enthusiasm than just looking in the book. On that song, I'm going to have to look in the book. But if you sing a song like Joy to the World, you can close your book and you can sing Joy to the World, the Lord has come. Because it's in your heart and you're filled with it. You can sing Silent Night. You don't need a book to sing Silent Night, unless you haven't grown up with that song. And so when the song leader says, let's sing Silent Night, put your book away. And think about the words, and that's what I want to do this morning. I want to look at some Christmas songs here in a little bit. The message of a Christmas song, and hopefully that inspires us to sing. So sing joyfully. Sing with meaning. Stop your thoughts. You know how when you're singing these same old songs, joy to the world, the Lord is come. Wonder if they got any hot chocolate to give us tonight. Wonder where the cookies are. Oh yeah, look at that dog over there. Hey, did you see that dog over there? Oh yeah, what's next song, Silent Night? Let's not do that. We have a message of hope, a message to bring to our hurting world, and we have to focus. We cannot be distracted by the Christmas tree, the TV, maybe the house that needs a really good cleaning. That's not what we're there. We're not there to pass judgment. We are there to share the good news of Jesus Christ. And I would just challenge each one of us to make that personal, that as we sing and we share tonight, that we focus on that good news. So the verse I was going to read, we looked at the one in Zephaniah. If you turned over two more books to Zechariah, chapter 2, verse 10, just has this verse. Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for lo, I come, and I will dwell in the midst of thee, saith the Lord. Sing and rejoice, for lo, I come. The Lord is with us. It is something to sing and rejoice about this morning and tonight as we go to sing. We could go to the account in Luke 2, how the shepherds, they got excited because they suddenly realized the Lord has come. And they were excited about that and they wanted to go tell. And so they went running into the countryside telling people that the little baby, the Lord has come. It was a message of hope. So we sing because he has come, and that empowers us. There's a power in that little babe coming to this world. We sing because we have good news to tell. Jesus Christ is born. And we sing the old song, or at least we hear it, go tell it on the mountain, tell it everywhere, go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is Lord. Go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is born. That is our message. That is what this season is all about. To go tell. To be excited. So many times we allow this time of Christmas season to get us down and to let us become discouraged. We kind of start to live life like the people around us. And life is a time of maybe family gatherings and more family gatherings and more family gatherings. And for the ladies, it's making food and more food and more food. And it's like, I just can't wait till it's done. Can't wait till it's over. The world we live in, they go on the shopping spree. Everybody needs gifts and they max the credit cards out and it's time of stress. That's not what Christmas season is for a child of God. Don't let that rob you of the joy of Christmas. But the message is still there. Jesus Christ is born. You know that Christmas is celebrated worldwide? There's a lot of, like Thanksgiving is just for America. Canadians have their own Thanksgiving Day. But the time of Christmas season is celebrated worldwide. At least it's a national holiday. And I'd like to just for you to stop and to think about what it would be like. What makes Christmas, the Christmas season in your mind? Well, it's snow. It's sleigh bells, it's lights, it's cookies, good food, hymns, carols, Christmas music. Gifts. What else did I miss? Put it in there. It's those things that I can't wait till Christmas, especially maybe as a child. That's an exciting time of year. That's not all wrong. But imagine you lived over in Iraq, Iran, Turkey, where you are suffering for your belief in Jesus Christ. What would Christmas mean to you then? Where there is no snow, where there is no sleigh bells, where there is no gifts. There's only one thing that's going to last, and that is the message of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's that good news. It never changes. It doesn't matter if it's in America or if it's around the world. Good news. It's universal. So sing. Sing and rejoice, O daughters of Zion. This Christmas season gives us opportunities to do things that it opens the doors of opportunity. I know some of us have neighbors that would never let us come sing. And you say, well, can we come sing some Christmas songs for you? And they say, sure, come. We need to capitalize on that. It's your one chance to get into someone's home. It's one chance to touch a life. Are we going to sing the good news to them? We want to. There's been times we have went to Chambersburg Hospital. Chambersburg Hospital will allow you in, several years ago, on Christmas. If you're going to sing Christmas songs, Christmas hymns, they'll allow you to come in. It's any time of year they can do that. Years ago, we went to an old people's retirement home. And they simply opened their doors, and they said, go sing, go walk the halls. And it was so fun. We didn't have no one watching us. We just walked wherever we wanted to. It never happens like that before. It's only because the time of Christmas, it opens doors, and people say, you're singing Christmas songs. And they kind of let their guard down. We need to capitalize on that and go share the news. Go sing and rejoice. Be excited. Songs have a way of getting into people's minds. You know, my thoughts don't get into your mind. I can think a lot of thoughts, you don't even know them. I can write thoughts down on a piece of paper, it still don't do anything. Until maybe I send you a text. Maybe I would send you a text that says, Merry Christmas. And you say, oh, that was nice. And you forget it. I put my thoughts down on a piece of paper and I preach. And I don't know how long you'll remember what I preach. But if I made it rhyme, which I'm not a poet, I wish I could. If I could have a whole rhyming 5 minutes, you might remember it. There's something about rhyming words that stick in your head. I like poems. I can remember poems. Well, my earliest recollection of a poem is when I was 4 years old. How brave a ladybug must be. Each drop of rain as big as she. Can you imagine what you would do if raindrops fell as big as you? Just a simple little line. I learned that when I was 4 or 5 years old. I never forgot it. Why? Didn't make any sense. It does make sense. It was just cute. My point is, when something rhymes, it sticks in your head. But song takes it to that much of a greater element. I can read you a song, and it might rhyme. We could take the song, Angels We Have Heard on High. Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plains, and the mountains in reply echo back the joyous strains. But if we would sing it, you could probably sing that word for word without looking at a book. Why? Because that melody goes into your mind, and it roots itself in there. You can hear a song that you haven't heard for years, and the words will come right back to you. You start to hear that melody, and you know exactly what song's going to be played. Point is, song finds its way into people's hearts. And as we go out tonight and we sing, may those songs find their way into people's hearts. Don't forget that. It's not just a time of just singing Christmas music. It's just not a time where we gather together, as tradition has it, to sing Christmas songs just because that's what we do. It's because there's a message of hope that is going forth to your neighbors, to the old people. I don't know where we're all going, but there's a message of hope. And we have one opportunity this Christmas season to be able to share it. We're welcomed. It's a privilege to be able to sing the salvation story. To us a child of hope is born. To us a son is given. Or we sing the song, Hark, the glad sound, a Savior comes. The Savior promised long, let every heart prepare a throne and every voice a song. Those words stick. You know the songs. Sing with focus. Sing and rejoice, O ye daughters of Zion. Because you have a message, I want that impressed upon your mind. As you go forth, sing and rejoice, because the Lord has come and he is with us. It's a powerful message, and we have the tools to be able to sing. To be able to sing as a church group is a tremendous benefit that we have. Sing with zeal, sing with meaning, and sing with fervency. So I'd like to look at some songs, and I'd like to take songs that we just normally sing and look at the words, look at the meaning, and see if we can't inspire our hearts to go forth tonight to sing. Take your Zion's praises and turn to 135. Joy to the world. What more of a favorite song than Joy to the World? In our little music books, I found it interesting. It's our number one song. It's the first song right inside the cover. Joy to the world, because there is no joy in this world. Just stop and think about when you sing Joy to the World, how many hurting people have no joy? They're frustrated. They're angry with life, and you come in there with a smile on your face. And you are singing intently, Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King, joy. Joy in a world of so much unrest and turmoil. You think of all the political unrest that's going on right now, and you can stand there and you can sing joy. Joy to the world. And I wonder what that does to someone's heart that is really bogged down with the cares of this world. Joy. Joy versus anger. Joy versus confusion. Verse 2 says, Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ. Meaning men, ladies, there's just so much joy, you have to sing about it. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy. Even nature is joy. Singing. Why joy? It's because the Lord has come. That wait is over. Those predictions that there was going to be a Savior come, we have the account of Simeon, that Brother Myron read to us in Luke. He was waiting, and he was waiting. And I wonder how many times he got up and he wondered, where is the promise? The Lord said a Savior would come. And he's getting old, and it's soon he's going to pass away. Joy to the world, because that wait is over. Sing with joy. Keep your Zion's praises close by, but I'd like to get your church hymnal now and turn to number 91 out of your church hymnal, O Little Town of Bethlehem. It's a favorite song of mine because I like the words of that song. I'd actually started considering to preach about the little town of Bethlehem. The symbolization of Bethlehem, what all happened in Bethlehem. There's a lot of people made their way through Bethlehem. But, O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. And it's just such a peaceful and quiet and serene song to think about. Everybody's in bed, sleeping, stars are out. But the next verse says this, Yet in thy dark streets shineth the everlasting light. And in that darkness, it takes me back to Isaiah, there's that everlasting light coming forth, shining out. And so there's that darkness that's all around us. We live in a dark world. Just a lot of darkness out there, a lot of darkness spiritually. And in those dark streets, there shineth that everlasting light. That light that shines into people's lives, that light that changes people. Yet in the dark streets shineth the everlasting light, the hopes and fears of all the years. Do you have any fears this morning? Hopes and fears are kind of in contrast in my mind. I think hope kind of balances out my fears, but I'm afraid my fears overwhelm my hope. But my hopes and my fears are met in this one that we're singing about, are met in thee tonight. And so as you sing to your audience, you're really singing to them a message of hope. No matter what you're going through, the fears that you're facing, the struggles, the darkness that's in your life can be met in the Savior. It's a bright light. It's the one that shines brighter, that everlasting light. We have that light of Jesus Christ shining in our hearts today. And it's that beacon. You can see a bright light shining for miles. And that kind of a light can shine out of each one of our lives. I'd like to read John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And it goes on. But Jesus is the true light that is shining into this dark world. Yet in the dark streets shineth the everlasting light. So many people were just laying there slumbering, and events were unfolding around them, and they were oblivious to it. It's the same way with us today. There are people that's bound in bondage of this world, and we have the good news to tell, and we can share it tonight through song. Turn with me in your Zion's praises. Well, I wanted to read this yet. We're thinking about hopes and fears. Hopes and fears of what we dwell in, of what bothers us. And we live in a good land here in America. But there's a lot of fears in the world picture. Fears of unrest. Fear of armies, of war, of struggle. And I have here a quote from Winston Churchill. It was the Christmas Eve of 1941. It was right after Pearl Harbor was bombed. And America was on the brink of war. I think they actually declared war. And they just simply knew that life was going to change. America did not want to fight, but they were drugged into that battle and they chose to go fight. And Winston Churchill was very concerned that Franklin Roosevelt would work with him. And he came over here, and it was Christmas Eve. And he stood on the back door of the White House, and he addressed a whole group of people. I think there was quite a crowd there. And here's what he said. He said, "This is a strange Christmas Eve. Almost the whole world is locked in a deadly struggle, and with the most terrible weapons which science can devise, the nations advance upon each other. Ill the most terrible weapons which science can devise." "Ill would it be for us this Christmastide if it were not sure that no greed for the land or wealth of any other people, no vulgar ambition, no morbid lust for material gain at the expense of others had led us to this field. Here in the midst of war, raging and roaring over all the lands and seas, creeping nearer to our hearts and homes, here amid all the tumult, we have tonight the peace of the Spirit in each cottage home and in each generous heart. Therefore, we may cast aside this night at least the cares and dangers which beset us, and make for children an evening of happiness in a world of storm. Here then, for one night only, each home throughout the English-speaking world should be a brightly lighted island of happiness and peace. Mr. Churchill probably proclaimed more than he realized. But as we have the Spirit of God in each one of our hearts, our homes can be a beacon of light in this dark world, no matter what we're facing, no matter if war is ready to break out on Christmas Eve. Our homes can be a beacon of peace. Now I'd like to go to Zion's praises again and look at Psalm 128. This song, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. And there's different tunes to this. I don't like this tune, but it's what's in our book, and so I'll use it for the words. But hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king, peace on earth and mercy God, sinners reconciled, joyful all ye nations, rise, join the triumph of the skies, with the angelic host proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Verse 2 is what I'm looking for. Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord, late in time behold he come, offspring of the virgin womb, veiled in flesh the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity. The incarnation where Jesus came down to this earth as a babe, but he was king. To think that those shepherds, when they went and looked at that little babe in the manger, they were looking at the very face of God. He was God in the form of a human being. Pleased as men with men to dwell, Jesus, our Emmanuel. Emmanuel, it talks about that in Matthew 1, verse 23, how it says, Lord with us. The Lord came down onto this earth as a babe, and he was God. He came down, the Creator came down and was made the creation. Creator becomes the creation. That really doesn't make any sense. How can I become a creation? I can create things. Arlen can build a nice fence, but for Arlen to become the fence, that don't make any sense. Jesus made this world. He formed it. And he came down and he became the very thing that he created. Divinity became humanity. And it says it pleased as man with men to dwell. And so Jesus came down, and as we sing the song, there's words in here that we just sing through. We don't even stop and we don't even think about what we're singing. At least I don't. But I want you to stop and think about it tonight as you sing. We are singing the story of the Christ, how he came down to this earth and became a human being for us. He became our sacrifice in verse 3. Trying to lay my eyes on it, but I can't. But it talked about a sacrifice. Jesus was our sacrifice. He also came with healing in his wings. And that's also in verse 3. Risen with healing in his wings. And how Jesus is the healer. He's not just a babe in the manger anymore, but he is a healer of our deepest needs, the infirmities that's in our life. It's a song that you're taking to your audience. When you go up there on the porch and you knock on the door and they come to the door, you're getting ready to sing about the wonderful Creator. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. He is still in the healing business today. Only if this people of this world would let him. I think about how he healed that wild man, that crazy man, that man in the scriptures that was cutting himself with knives, that was totally out of control. He went berserk until he met Jesus. And Jesus got him sitting in his right mind, clothed. And he could actually relate. risen with healing in his wings. Jesus is still in the business of healing people. And he is in the business of healing the hurting people of this world. Light and life to all he brings. That's a message that we can take to our people. Turn to song number 125. Hark the glad sound. It's hard to talk about the songs without actually singing them. Hark the glad sound, the Savior comes, the Savior promised long. I always like to sing verse 3 because maybe it just gets my attention. But he comes, the prisoners to release, in Satan's bondage held. Releasing prisoners. It's almost impossible. Wouldn't it just be nice to go into a jail and just release the prisoners, the people that were in there wrongly? But that's what Jesus can do. He can take a man that is bound in the bondage of sin and just release him. Satan has such a stronghold, but Jesus, I can break it. I can release them. Hark the glad sound. What a song to be able to sing to someone that is being held in the bondage of sin. Verse 4, he comes the broken heart to bind, the bleeding soul to cure. Again, there's so many needs around us in our world. A broken heart and a bleeding soul. You think about a soul that's bleeding, eventually it's going to run out of, it's going to die until it meets Jesus, and then it's healed. It's a glad sound. Hark the glad sound. Turn to one more song, number 113. This is Once in a Royal David City. And it's talking about, I want to focus on verse 4, where it says, our eyes at last shall see him through his own redeeming love. For that child so dear and gentle is our Lord in heaven above. This isn't just a babe anymore. And this song takes us on a journey. And it is saying there's coming a time when our Lord is coming back again, and we can be with him. We can see him. Our eyes at last shall see him through his own redeeming love. And what a song to be able to take and sing the journey of the story of Christ. A message of hope. Verse 5 says, not in that poor lowly stable with the oxen standing by, but we shall see him but in heaven, set at God's right hand on high. We, like the stars, his children, crowned all in white, shall wait around. And just, we have that joy, that hope of being with Christ someday. And it fills us with inspiration to be able to sing. Sing, O daughters of Zion. Shout aloud for joy. The Lord has come. It doesn't matter if you've already sang it 5 times. Sometimes we go Christmas caroling, and we're like, well, we already sang that song. It doesn't matter. It's a song of joy. Sing it. Sing a song that you know. Sing a song that you can sing well. And share that message of inspiration with the people. It's the message of hope. As you go forth tonight, and as you sing, may God be our glory. May the glory go to our Lord. It's a message of hope. I'll just share the verse again in closing. Sing, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Be glad and rejoice, for the Lord is in the midst of thee. Let us kneel for prayer.